This podcast is a proud member of the CypherCast Network. Discover more at cyphercast.net and follow us on Twitter at cyphercast.net.
Hello and welcome to the CypherCast Chronicles, an actual play podcast featuring Monte Cook Games' Cypher System. This is the second adventure in the Fragile Estate campaign for The Strange. Tonight's adventure features the recursion of Holstenwall, created by Scott Robinson, who happens to be one of our players tonight as well. You can find his recursion of Holstenwall in the CypherCaster magazine on DriveThruRPG. Now, on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the CypherCast Chronicles. This is Adventure 2 of A Fragile Estate. Today, my players are as follows.
Hi, I'm William. I'm playing Jackson Harper, who is a paranoid paradox who works the system on Earth.
And I'm Brandon Ording. I'm playing Dr. Kirk Rexler, who is a tough paradox who leads. He also is a bit of a psychologist.
And I'm Scott Robinson, playing Milton Jammer, a doomed spinner who solves mysteries.
All right. So we have a couple new characters this time around. We have Dr. Kirk Rexler. And Dr. Kirk Rexler, you've been with the estate for quite some time. In a mission in your past, Jackson Harper saved your life. What happened?
Well, let's see. So, Jackson...
Take that, Adair.
So Jackson Harper managed to save me from the Jabberwocky.
Huh. You went to Wonderland together, huh?
Yes. I have been there a few times. As a matter of fact, that's the recursion that actually introduced me to translating, and that's how I, you know, the estate found, you know, kind of came to know that my character existed. So I've been there back several other times, and the Jabberwocky basically came after me, and Jackson was there to keep me from getting...
All right. That sounds great. Well, Jackson and Dr. Rexler, you've been asked to attend a briefing in the J.H. Pongtang briefing room on the estate campus.
By all means.
So, yeah, just to sort of set the context a little bit, this is chronologically after the first session, right?
Correct. This is probably about... Okay. Maybe about a month after the first mission.
Okay.
That y'all were on.
Just clip all that out.
So.
Yes. So Jackson will, as soon as he gets the invite, will round up Dr. Rexler, who may or may not know his way to the briefing room.
Oh, yeah. He knows his way to the briefing room, and you probably don't know that he's actually invited to this briefing. You're just summoned to a briefing.
Oh. Okay.
And I don't know which one of you show up first, but there's only the two of you.
Hmm. All right. Well, I'll pick the seat in the briefing room that's got the best sight lines, got my back to the wall. Make sure no one's sneaking up on me.
Then if he's already there, then I arrive after him. It's like, oh, Jackson, I didn't know you were going to be coming to this briefing also. Do you have any idea what it's about?
I don't. I just got the email.
I'm sure there'll be another exciting mission for us.
Oh, you gotta love this. Love this life.
After a few minutes through one of the doors of the briefing room, lead operative Catherine Manners, research chief Brian Hetzfield, and a third man you do not recognize dressed in... How are you dressed, Mr. Milton Jammer?
A beat-up dark suit. Let's see. Basically dark navy, but it's been dry cleaned several dozen too many times. I nervously enter the room. You can see me checking out the various potential exits, sight lines, and looking behind the door to see if anyone's hiding there.
I like this guy.
Yeah. So Catherine looks, you know, her prim, put together self as always. But Brandon, you've worked for with Chief Hertzfeld before. A time or two. He was actually your SO in training. And you can tell right away that he's a bit twitchy today. He's had a little bit too much coffee again.
You remember he always hated talking to crowds. So there's only about five of you, so it shouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, so it's just starting to get too many people for him to be comfortable. So it's right on the verge, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So as two gentlemen sit down, Catherine stays standing, and it says, you know, greetings, the two of you. Sorry, I guess I heard Mr. McCandles was rather sick. I guess he will not be able to make it. But alas, we must continue on. The mission that I have to send you on is quite urgent. Before we get into the meeting at hand, I should give you a little bit of background from what we discovered in the aftermath of the San Francisco rescue operation. The schematics that Deborah Sandard had been assigned to reverse engineer for her company, Insotech, had an OSR logo on them. Deborah, you know, operating under the assumption that she was employed to reverse engineer something that was obviously obtained through illegal corporate espionage, decided to put her hacking skills to use and figure out who this OSR was. She discovered a lot about the government agency. She was even able to hack into their servers and obtain the schematics for an inopposite harness, which she very crudely built. She then got the feeling that she was being watched and was in danger. She was later contacted by an entity called the Oracle that seemed to be trying to help her. We have Adair and our other top agents looking into this Oracle problem right now. Research Chief Hatzfeld and his team has been going over the original OSR schematics that Deborah was assigned to reverse engineer and has had some interesting conclusions. Chief Hatzfeld gets up out of his chair. He's a little shaky. He stands and looks at everybody. Says, thank you, Miss Manners. First off, the schematics we were working with are far from complete. We have reason to believe that Isotech only gave Deborah a portion of the schematics to work with, so she would learn too much of the nature of the objects. However, the object is quite special and quite dangerous. It seems to be designed to tap into the data network of the Strange, not for any length of time, but constant tiny pings. We're not sure why they would make a device that would do this, or what the purpose of a device like this would be. We don't know what the rest of the device is supposed to do. The second thing we discovered was that the schematics weren't the originals. They are copied from somebody else's work. We first suspected something wasn't quite right when we looked at the measurements. The OSR had everything written in the metric system, but the fractions they were using were non-standard. Why would somebody build us something to a scale that was harder to be precise about? Then one of our researchers converted the measurements to imperial standard, and voila, they converted into standard fractions and measurements again. It was obvious this was the native measurements used. Then we discovered a symbol in the corner of the page, a stylized RH. They looked like a mathematical symbol, maybe some part of a formula not quite finished. This was what we thought, and this is what we think the OSR thought as well, when they copied it from the original. It wasn't until Miss Manners showed this symbol to a few field agents that we learned the truth. Miss Manners then steps up and says, "The truth is that the RH stands for Professor Reinhardt, a professor at the Aurelius University in a little recursion called Holstenwall. Holstenwall is a very dark recursion, one seeded with the myths, legends, and stories, and myth, legend, stories, and movies that are of gothic horror in nature. Agent Jammer," she points to the other man that entered the room with her, "has been in and out of Holstenwall for a good portion of his career. He has even met this Professor Reinhardt. What we need you guys to do is to find this professor, find out what he was building, and if it is possible, how it was possible for his designs to be stolen. Agent Hammer will be accompanying you. We have a recursion gate in Holstenwall in our gatehouse. Agent Hammer knows where it is and has the key code. Do you have any questions?"
I actually do have a question.
Okay.
You say you have plans that came from a recursion, but I was under the impression that you wouldn't be able to bring the plans through. They're not an artifact or a cipher, are they?
No, the schematics that we attained were printouts that Deborah was able to obtain, was given to research at her corporation, Isotech. After some digging, we learned that Isotech was actually funded by the OSR themselves. So apparently they are trying to reverse engineer these schematics that they don't even know what they do.
So perhaps they copied them from the memory? Maybe that's why they have problems with being able to figure out what's wrong.
Or they copied them while in the recursion, I'm not quite sure, onto something that did not translate.
Curious. Or the plans came through an apposite gate.
I suppose paper would be available in many recursions, though not all of them, surprisingly. Agent Jammer, is it?
Yes, it is. It's Milton Jammer.
Is everything all right? You seem a little...
Yes, everything's okay. Why don't you think everything's okay?
Yes. Very curious. And at that point, you kind of see me begin pulling out a notebook and start taking a couple of notes.
I am quite familiar with note takers.
So Jackson will raise his hand. Excuse me, Mr. Jammer, what can you tell us about Hostenwall? What should we be expecting there?
Oh, there's little I can do to prepare you for Hostenwall. It is the stuff of the nightmares of Gothic horror. You'll have to stay close to me so I can make sure that you don't get swept off by the gargoyles or dragged into the sewers by the ghouls. But if you stay close to me, I'm sure we can make it to the relative safety of the university.
Sounds like quite the pleasant experience. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so now Jackson is jotting down notes as well. As soon as the gargoyles mention comes out, it's okay. We gotta start planning this thing out. And I apologize, Miss Manners. What is our objective? To find out where the schematics came from?
Your objective is to find out what this device does that the OSR is researching and why they've got their hands, you know, why they're looking into it, what they're trying to build. If anybody knows what this device does, it would be the professor. We don't want the OSR getting a weapon or a leg up on us.
Do we know anything about the professor? You said Reinhardt, I believe, if I'm looking at my notes correctly. Do we know anything more about him? Is he? You said he's in a recursion. Does he have the spark, or is he just another, you know, citizen of the recursion?
Well, I know that he's a well-regarded member of the faculty of Aurelius University. I don't know whether he has the spark specifically.
I'm just wondering if these plans originate from a recursion, what the likelihood are that they would actually function outside of the recursion anyway. Perhaps this device would actually need to be only function from inside Holstenwall?
Well, we might have to investigate his lab, which is in an old windmill on the outskirts of the outskirts of town. Maybe we can find our answers there.
Perhaps.
Agent Manners dismisses y'all and tells y'all to please hurry. The only info that we have is that the OSR hasn't deciphered the device. So, deciphered the schematics, obviously, if they were still having Deborah research them. Since we know that they're the ones that actually created Isotech for that purpose. So now that they've lost one of their agents, they might take other measures to obtain whatever this device is they were researching.
But we don't think they've actually made one of whatever this thing builds.
We're not sure. We don't think so. Just because the fact that the OSR is not somebody that's going to, they're not going to build a doomsday weapon without knowing how it works, you know?
That's a generally good idea. That's a much
more optimistic outlook of the. That's a much more optimistic outlook of the OSR than most of the field agents have.
There is some factions that are that reckless. I don't think the OSR is that reckless.
Well, as long as the Roswell team does not get any influence over them, they'll do anything.
So we were supposed to go to, I think you said, mentioned the gatehouse. Is that what you said?
Correct. The gatehouse on campus.
We have the code.
Oh, cool. So we're taking a fixed gate. We're not having Mr. Jammer guide us there.
Correct. They've got a fixed gate in the gatehouse. As you depart, Miss Manners says, excuse me, Agent Harper, a quick word?
Yes, ma'am.
And she waits, everybody else sort of departs and says, listen, I know this is your first real mission since the unfortunate incident back in Dallas. We know Darcy's death was not your fault. We trust you to still make the tough decisions that matter. Even though...
That was a hard mission.
Yes. Even though Agent Jammer knows the lay of the land better than anyone, you are in charge of this mission. Trust your instincts. You need to know that Agent Jammer is not clear for field duty. His psych evaluations have been deteriorating lately. However, he knows Holstonwall better than anyone, and we need to know what the OSO, the OSR has gotten their hands on.
You can count on me.
Trust Dr. Rexler, though. He's a natural leader. He can make some decisions for you.
He seems like a good guy.
Well, good luck.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Okay, so Jackson will head to the gate room where everyone else is.
As Jackson rejoins us, I turn to Agent or Operatives Harper and Rexler and say, you may think you know what recursions are like with your floating Baskerville hounds and your Red Queens and such, but you are not prepared for Holstonwall. You must stay close to me. And whatever you do, just don't open anything or just don't leave my eyesight.
So Jackson will look over at Rexler kind of behind Jammer's back and kind of roll his eyes, and he'll mouth Jabberwocky, you know, and kind of toss his head a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, well, of course. We quite understand. We'll stay with you. We'll do exactly as you say. But yeah, it's just a bit of the, right, of course, this can't possibly be any worse than what we've dealt with in the past.
Right. Every recursion is the worst recursion you've ever been to.
You don't seem
but
to be
totally, thinking. Totally professional to Mr. Jammer. Thank
well, you.
You
should take this seriously. You read the wrong book,
absolutely.
And who knows, your soul may be sheared from your body.
Hmm.
Prepare yourself for mind-bending horror.
You punch in the key code to a room that is pretty much the size of a normal bedroom. The only piece of furniture in it, though, is a large constructed doorway on the far right side, or the opposite side of the door. And it's like this metal structure built into the wall.
Okay, gentlemen.
And begin listening at the door. Put my ear up against it.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on it a little bit.
The metal doorway
has
some buttons in the frame that you know how to activate to turn it on.
I believe this is operating as intended. So I punch in the code, but I kind of poke at the portal a little bit.
Yeah, it shimmers to life like blood dripping down from the top and the bottom, and they meet together in the middle, and it opens up, and it's just a shimmery blue or shimmery red portal.
That's not ominous at all.
I poke nervously and watch the portal distort, look around, and then twitch and very cautiously step through the portal.
Schwump.
And after he disappears, I look over at Jackson and says, after you?
Oh, no, after you. You know what we're looking for there, so probably best to jump in and get your bearings and make sure everything's solid.
You see
very
my
well.
Hand poke back through and motion you through.
Yes, that's what I step through also.
And then Jackson will wait a beat and then step through after Jammer.
All right. So the gate translates you into an old gazebo in need of paint. It appears to be gloaming. There's a lighter horizon to your west, but a dark night sky above you. The sky is dominated by a large full moon, but you can clearly see storm clouds are moving in. Before you, an ankle-deep mist fills the ground. In the waning light, you see that the gazebo sits at the top of a horseshoe-shaped road, equal distance from the two reaching arms of the road. On the outer edges of the horseshoe are the five original buildings of Auroralis University campus. Something howls in the distance.
Isn't it beautiful in the spring?
So everyone's here and accounted for?
Correct. Nobody missed right. their...
Jammer, do you know where we're going?
Yes, we have to cross through most of the university to get over to the laboratory.
Which you said was at a windmill, correct?
Yes, yes.
Do yes, I see any sign of a windmill, you know, peeking up above the buildings?
No.
Looking at... No? Mm-hmm.
It is across some farmlands on the top of a hill near the edge of a woods.
Lead on then, Jammer. Lead on.
I look around. I used to be look to the skies. I move over to a corner of a building, look around the corner of the building. Okay. It looks like it's clear. I don't think we're being followed.
And what exactly okay, do you think would be following us?
Around here, just about anything could.
So as soon as we get to a moment of relative calm where we're not exposed and we feel like we've got a moment of safety, I'm going to like stop and like examine myself and my companions and see what we've become on the other side of this gate.
Okay. All right. Has anybody changed their foci when they switched over?
Yeah, so Jackson changed his focus from works the system to operates undercover. So he's a little more diminutive, a little shorter, a little more slender. The clothes have gotten a little darker. He's got the fedora that he can pull down over his face. Description is much more nondescript than the, I'm assuming, ravishly handsome Earth focus. But more sort of oriented towards like disappearing into the background.
Milton Jammer is wearing sort of a duster jacket and carrying an ornate walking stick, very sturdy looking. It's not something he leans on very much, but it complements his wardrobe. If anything, he is paler in here than he was just on the other side of the portal. Completely bald, but the one thing that hasn't changed is the presence of the twitches still twitching. He seems only to stop twitching when he's lecturing you about something.
Yeah, and for the most part, Dr. Rexler looks the same because he, you know, did not change focus, so Leeds has still been dragged along. Mm-hmm. He looks large, physically looks the same, but his clothes kind of changed, you know, from a, you know, previously he's probably in just a suit. Now it looks more like something you might see out of like an old university professor wearing, you know, like the tweed coat and, you know, something that you might see that looks kind of like, you know, something from, you know, some prestigious university kind of professor, a little more nebbish, I suppose.
Gotcha. Oh, yes, yes. You'll fit in nicely here. Just look natural. Look natural.
Just look scared. You'll fit right in.
Just then above you, on the building that you're next to, you hear the cawing of crows, just a couple of crows going, caw, caw, as they sort of fly away from whatever perch they were at up there into the into a tree on campus.
Who was asking? Who could be following us? Mm-hmm.
That's ominous.
The crows do appear to be watching you.
I've got my eye on you. Just sort of stare at them for a second. Do they do anything?
Nope. They start pecking away at the branch that they're on, maybe looking for berries. You're not quite sure.
All right, Jammer, let's get to where we're going. But maybe stay undercover as much as we can.
We'll have to duck through the alleys, but in the university district, there are a lot of narrow passageways between these buildings. Maybe we can lose them there.
As you are traveling between building and building, Jackson, you notice you're looking up at you know, the architecture, the Gothic architecture, and you swear that you see a gargoyle flap its wings and move.
Ugh. So I have my I discovered as I came through that this disguise, this persona came with a light handgun, so I've got that in my hand. Mm-hmm. And I'll Jackson will gesture to the others and kind of gesture them back kind of under the shadows and silently point up, peek around when I get a chance and see what's up there.
You look up there, and once you peek around, you notice that it's just a stone gargoyle. It looks like it's a fixture of the side of the building.
This place is freaking me out.
I think you may be letting things get into your head. Just stay calm.
It's not whether you're paranoid, it's whether you're paranoid enough. But this is a good start.
Gotcha. Yeah, as we've been moving along, I've been watching, you know, Jammer's paranoid twitching and moving around. And while I know we are in a recursion that might warrant it, it's like I'm still not sure whether he's justified or whether he's just crazy at this point. So it's like I've been trying to observe and see if I can't apply my psychological training to figure out exactly what level of paranoia is warranted or not.
Well, Jackson's descriptor is paranoid, so he's totally buying right into that. You know, mm-hmm. as soon as a shadow kind of skitters across the in the distance, he's got the gun out and he's ready to start firing, but doesn't quite fire training, but still there are things out there that are ready to get us.
Dr. Rexler, I was a case study once.
Oh, for what sort of topic?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read any of that. They don't know what they're talking about anyway.
You make it to about the edge of the campus. The campus itself has got enough little lights on it that you see a lot of shadows, but you haven't seen really anybody. You've seen a couple faces in windows that kind of look at you as you walk by, or once they see you, they close a curtain. But nobody is kind of giving you guys the time of day or going out and see what y'all are up to. Finally, you get near the edge of the campus, and a while's off to your right, almost through back through the campus, you hear a man scream.
Back the way we came?
No, not quite back the way we came, just sort of like far to your right. You know.
Okay.
That's not all that unusual around here. We should continue. We're actually going off, and I point in a different direction. We're going off this direction towards the windmill. Dr. Reinhardt's lab's this way.
So you're saying that's not our concern. Is it just a single scream and then it stops? Or does it continue?
It's the kind of scream that trails off in a way that the person is in obvious, being attacked.
Okay. But it's not like a scream and an abrupt stop?
No, it's not a scream and an abrupt stop. It's a scream and a gargle afterwards. Like, kind of thing. Okay. At the end of it.
So it's like I'm looking at Harper and trying to see if he's what he thinks about this. But, I mean, obviously Jammer's going, no, we should keep going. It's not really in our operating, orders to go investigate every random noise.
Come on, let's keep following Jammer.
Yes. It's not likely someone that actually matters anyway, I suppose.
I might just be away from the screaming towards what I believe is the direction of the windmill.
You start going through a bit of a field, and all of a sudden it starts to thunder outside for a bit, and a little bit of rain sort of starts pattering down on you. It's now pitch black dark, and the moon is behind the clouds that you can see it. Just kind of illuminating some of the clouds that are dropping rain down upon you. After a while, you start, going along a path that's through some trees and then into a field. Again, as y'all head up, you can see in the distance the windmill up ahead on the hill next to some farmland. Jackson, is a GM intrusion.
Do it.
As a GM intrusion,
no, I have,
you trip over something in the fog. Verified.
Okay.
And fall in the wet grass. You look down to see what you tripped over, and it's the corner of a grade marker sticking out of the earth. Just then, a bolt of lightning arcs across the sky, and you clearly make out, here lies Jackson Harper on the stone. You suffer 3 points of int damage. Another flash illuminates the stone once again, and you see the name clearly reads, here lies Luis Fitzgerald.
I do not like this place, I'm just saying.
And as you get up, you realize that the field that Milton is taking you through is actually a graveyard.
All right. So I've been every 5 minutes in the last 45 minutes that we've been walking, I've been verifying that all six chambers of my revolver are loaded. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to grab Jammer and I'm going to say, look, what are you doing? Where are you taking us? Do you know where you're going?
Of course I do. I've been here. I know this area very well. This is the most efficient route to the wind house or the windmill.
Where?
Are you sure? And I'm just...
Yes, yes. Come along. Come along. I keep tapping my way along with my walking stick.
All right. So in between the rolls of thunder, there's the constantly click, 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 click as I'm like rolling back the hammer on the gun and then easing it back into the safety position, then rolling it back. Click. Click, 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 click.
You might want to be careful with that in the rain.
You had better not be messing with us, Jammer.
Agent
oh,
Jammer.
Hey, so XP. XP. If,
yep, you got to give one of those XP to everybody else.
So I've got one. I'll give the other one to Jammer.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very sure. I know exactly where they told me this windmill was. People talked about it for a while. It must be just over this direction.
You can see the windmill where you're at, up on the hill, now that where you're at.
Oh, I can see a windmill.
Yep. Now, if this is where he slabs really is, you don't know, but, you know, you've got Milton's word for that. So are you giving the XP to Mr. Jammer?
Jammer.
Okay.
Yeah. So as we've been kind of going along, you know, you've had this bit of a, you know, confrontation there. It's you know, at some point I kind of sidle up next to Jammer and it's like, so you say you've spent a lot of time here. Why is that?
I look quite distracted, as if I'm only hearing part of what you're saying. But then I look at it. Yeah, I've been here a while. I was sent here from the estate pretty much once I was given field status. This got me away from my more paranoid fantasies about UFOs and such things, but that's all silliness. We know that now.
Hmm. And they keep sending you here.
Yes. Well, you know, after I became an expert in this area, naturally they would want to only send me here. This is what I know.
I see. Hmm.
Yeah, is that a network glitch, or was that just role-playing awesomeness?
I think that was role-playing awesomeness.
Half character.
Okay. Kudos, man.
They'll never know.
Yes. No, it's just like, yes.
Yeah, so while they're having that conversation, you know, Jackson's off to the side trying to brush the mud off of the front of his clothing, trying to... vainly appeared like a leader, you know, more like someone who tripped and fell on his face and is trying to hide it.
Gotcha. You scanned.
Because I know they're watching me. I know they're judging me.
You scanned the area around you, and you see that these outside of this graveyard, there's to your right like a field with huge bales of hay that are, you know, been stacked up, ready to be bound and moved. There is another field that has a little corn in it that seems to be, you know, kind of dead and dry, like there hasn't been much rain in some time, which is what's going on right now, is it's raining. So
I begin to look at the ground around the hay bales, muttering something about crop circles.
So about that windmill. It's just up ahead.
Come on, guys. Let's. This rain is not fun. Let's get to the windmill. At least it's indoors.
As you approach the windmill, you notice it's a really large windmill. The first floor of the windmill is all brick, with one large door facing the path that you guys are walking up. The second floor and the rest of the windmill is a wooden structure. Where the brick meets the wood, there's probably about a 6-foot wide balcony that wraps around the entire windmill. You see that there's a door on the balcony pretty much right above where the first door on the first floor is. The windmill is large. The actual blades are looks like strung up with rope and cloth, and it's slowly like moving. you know, the actual the fan of the windmill. So
are there any windows? And if so, are there any lights in them?
There is a light coming from the top floor window. And there is a little bit of light, you know, pulsating. And, you know, there's a large light at the top floor, but every other window also has light, but it's kind of pulsating. You know, you see that it's getting, you know, dim and bright, but they all the windows do that at the same time as you're approaching.
That probably isn't a good thing. You were about to say something, I believe, Jammer.
I can see how people who spend time here might think they're being spoken to by ghosts and spirits and other silliness. I can definitely see why they would think that.
But you don't think that.
No.
Very well. Looking around at the way we've approached the windmill, is there apparent to be a door or any other entrance at the ground level?
Yeah, there's the big door at the ground level, and right above that, you see on the balcony, you see that there's another door.
Okay.
So the light that's pulsing through the windows, does it appear to be like wholesome light, like candles or a gas lantern, or really scary, nasty light?
Seems to be light. It's, you know, it's a yellow light, like a light bulb light kind of light, but it's not really, it's not, you know.
Is it a steady pulsing, or is it sort of an irregular pattern?
It's flickery kind of pulse. It's not quite steady, but it does dim out and get brighter on sort of a steady pace.
Okay.
You're not quite sure what, but it sort of flickers the entire time it's doing that. It's not staying, you know, you in the woods behind you. You hear a crackle on the branch, like a branch is broken.
Take a look behind me. Do I see anything?
All right. Give me a perception check.
All right. Let's take a look at that. Intellect, I'm assuming, correct?
Sure. Level 3.
Level 3. All right. I rolled a 19, so
all right.
I got it.
Well, the obvious thing behind you in the trees, probably about 100 yards from where you stand, you see the silhouettes of a large bat-winged creature, you know, perched in the boughs. And what you notice in the silhouette due to your high roll is that it is feasting on some sort of deer in its arms. And that it's just its claws. So it's
a bat creature that's large enough to be eating a deer.
Correct.
Okay, then.
You think it's a deer? That's adorable.
So, I really don't want to be outside anymore. Why don't we go up to the windmill and see if the doctor is in?
Rumor has it, Reinhardt moved his lab out here because he was afraid of being watched. I'm not sure that was the right choice.
I like the going inside plan.
Yes. Right. Do we have any reason to think he's going to be hostile?
He's always avoided me, but I don't think he's been openly hostile.
So you have met and interacted with the man before?
No, not exactly, like person to person. But...
So more like you saw him from the bushes? I'm not sure. Were you hiding and watching him or something? I don't follow.
Yeah, but hostile crazy doctor is better than hostile bat thing that eats deer.
Yes, I would wholeheartedly agree.
I wouldn't hold off on that judgment, but I will go along with you.
Perhaps right. It's a nice man bat.
The door of the windmill is closed. It's a large wooden door, but it appears that it's recently been bashed in, and the door is just sort of sitting where the door should be.
This might have been the people that Reinhardt was afraid of watching him.
So basically, it looks like there's a big hole in the door, or the door is basically completely off its hinges?
So the door itself is whole. It's just been pretty much the hinges are destroyed, and it's kind of just laying there where the door actually is, but it's not fastened to anything.
So the door itself is sort of leaning there. Yep. And we can just tip it over.
Correct. Or just pick it up and move it aside.
And when the light pulses, the light that's been pulsing in the windows, does it pulse through the doors as well?
Through the cracks where the door, you know, the door is not against the hole of the doorway very well, but yeah.
The good news is we won't have to pick a lock.
That's always that's looking on the bright side of things.
I think you have to in this place.
In a moment of like the flash or the brightness, can we use that light to like look through one of the cracks and try to see inside before we just tip the thing over?
Sure. You look inside, and the first floor of this windmill is dominated by this large, crude-looking turbine with a large shaft running up it through a large, about 8-foot-wide hole in the ceiling of the room. You can't tell how far it goes from this angle, how far up the shaft goes, but it appears probably, you know, attached to the windmill itself.
So this would be the mill portion of the windmill?
Yep. This crude generator is still running and makes a repetitive clanking sound. Wires run from the ceiling to old electric bulbs that brighten and dim together as the windmill spins the turbine. You can see that there are stairs along the back wall that lead up to the floor above.
All right, so a wind-powered turbine is generating electricity in the windmill.
Correct. All right, then.
It doesn't look like there's any way to knock or announce our presence or otherwise go in invited. So I don't know about you, but strange people showing up at my lab, perhaps not the best way to just go in.
Jammer, you have the most experience. What do you think?
I suspect he moved his operation out here because he didn't want visitors. So chances are there isn't a polite way to introduce ourselves.
And we can't really leave without doing it, so I suppose we just have to go in and see what happens?
Well, we're not being attacked right at the moment, so let's be as polite as we can. And Jackson will kind of thump, thump, thump on the door. Dr. Reinhardt! Thump, 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 thump. Dr. Reinhardt!
As you yell, Dr. Reinhardt, lightning crashes. You know, and thunder booms.
Pretty much any time he says Reinhardt.
No. I mean, the next time he says it, there's no lightning, but it's just sort of like, okay. You know.
So
you realize that the noise you're making is probably not overheard between the cacophony of noise coming out from the weather outside.
Okay. Well, and when Jackson thumps on the door, does it like give at all? Is it ready to collapse, or is it it's still kind of firmly wedged in there?
It's still a firm door. It's not wedged in at all, though. You could just pick it up and move it. It's pretty much off its hinges, but it's still a solid door. It looks like whoever tried to bash it in, you see that there's marks that they hit the door, but you see that the hinges, the wrought iron hinges, snap before the brick of the windmill before they actually the door broke itself.
Are there claw marks?
Can I use my sleuthing to identify what it was that broke in the door, whether it be claws or battering ram or inhumanly large?
Give me a int based test, level 5.
What test? I'm sorry.
5.
Yeah.
What's the level?
Intellect.
Intellect. Okay. And yeah. I have training in perception and specialize in perception from sleuthing.
All right. So that means it's now level 3.
And I will spend some intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say 1 level of effort with an edge of 2.
Okay.
End of 1 to get down to level 2.
Sure.
Does that sound right? And I'll roll a level 2.
All right. And you got a success. There you go. Barely. I think he rolled 2.
Exactly a success.
So looking out the door, it takes you, you know, a bit to see what's first you thought it's claw marks, then you see how they're more uniform than that. They're not as gouged. And so you come to the conclusion that it is some kind of device, some fashion device. It's not definitely not claws, it's definitely not, you know, just a clear batarang, just something that they use to hit the door to bust it open. So somebody did this, not something. It's clear.
This door was felled by a some sort of device.
Device?
Not a monster, not a beast.
That's actually somewhat reassuring. So after his knocking between the weather and the noise, there's been no change to the windmills.
And the clank, clank, clank of the turbine inside. Yeah, nobody's responding to your hailing.
Go ahead.
I can't tell if you're too afraid of the beasts or not afraid enough of the technology.
You think there's a reason to be afraid of technology here?
There is a reason to be afraid of just about all of it.
Ah, mm-hmm.
There are many experiments with fell technology here. As you can see, this windmill has been repurposed, but we don't know for what. Apparently, they also built a door-removing device.
Well, it didn't really work that well.
It sounds more practical than they...
So, the windmill door, is it big enough, or is it small enough that, like, one person could move it aside, or do we need to, like, work together to kind of, like, maybe, like, pick it up and move it?
Two people can lift it pretty easily and move it.
Okay.
It'd be a strain for one person.
Yeah, let's.
Well, they're adults.
You know, after pounding on the door for a moment, if we didn't get a response, then let's pry this door away and get in there and take a look.
All right, you move the door away. No roll required.
All right, so taking a few tentative steps inside the windmill. I'm assuming that we see, you know, as you described before, the turbine in the middle that's connected to the shaft that goes up into the windmill building.
And it goes, and as you can see, it goes actually all the way to the top, and that each floor also has like an 8-foot wide hole in it. And there's three other floors above you.
All right. So how much clearance from the diameter of the shaft, I mean, is there between, like, I mean, are we talking about, like, enough that you can clearly see, or is it a fairly narrow gap?
What do you mean? You can clearly see the shaft itself. The wall,
like, from the floor through that, could a person climb up that way, or?
The shaft itself, the thing that's powering the turbine itself is probably about 2 foot wide. The diameter of the hole, the circular hole, is 8 foot wide.
Okay, so there's a fairly sizable gap in
Correct.
The floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You said there's a set of stairs going up, right?
Correct, on the back of the room.
Okay, looking around, is there anything else down here?
No, you notice that each floor, there's a balcony, or not a balcony, there's a railing around the hole on each floor up.
Okay. So, I guess the inside you said is 8. Like, what is the outside diameter? Is it enough where we can basically see all the way up to the top? And it's like it's more of a ledge around the outside edge of it?
So, the diameter of the windmill is probably about 15 to 20 feet on the bottom floor. It does taper up when you.
Okay. So, it's like if we're on this first floor, there's actually a ceiling. It's not just
Correct.
Like a railing and a ledge all the way up. Like
no. Yeah, there's a ceiling, but there's a big hole in the center of the ceiling where the windmill, you know, normal machinery is, and the mill grindstone would be and stuff like that would probably be sitting in the middle of this floor, but they've got a turbine there now.
All right. But we'd have to basically be standing at the turbine to look up or to really be able to see all the way up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So on this first floor, we're looking around. We've got this crazy turbine and it's flat. The lights are flickering. Mm-hmm. You said there was a set of stairs that go up.
Correct.
Is the floor here, I'm assuming, is not just like dirt. It's probably like
it is actually just floor. Dirt.
Okay. So it is just dirt. And they're looking around. Is there anything else of interest in here? Is it really just sort of...
It's dirt that's mixed with, it looks like, little tiny granules of wheat, like grind wheat. You know, like this probably was a windmill at one point in time.
But
windmills do, but it's probably been quite some time, but still the dust of it's still there.
But there's no machinery or workbenches or anything like that in this
bottom No, floor. Not on this first floor. I mean, there's a couple pieces of, like, a wheelbarrow up against the wall or what have you.
Yeah. So can we wedge the door back behind us?
Good idea. Sure.
How much of a wedge do you want to put?
Coming after.
Like, are you going to try to, like, fortify it, or are you just trying to, you know, close it?
Close it to begin with, at least slow down whatever's might be coming after us.
All right, give me a engineering test.
Engineering test.
So, based, just to build something real quick to wedge it to make sure you know it can't get through. And just roll the die, spend whatever effort you want to, and the level of that you roll is the how well you do.
Okay, I was going to say I can actually offer you some advice on how you might be best to go about that. It costs me an intellect point, and that gives you I believe it gives you an asset on the on the roll. Let me double check. Yeah, you're considered trained in that action for the next round. So yeah, so I basically can give you a few pointers on you know how that might be the best you know aspect to go about that. You know, if you take this and let's use the wheelbarrow, and let's see if we can't fortify this a little bit. So that actually gives you a benefit on that roll.
Oh, sweet. So I'll spend a level of effort. I have an edge of 2 in intellect, so it costs me 1.
Okay.
And I think that's all we have so far.
Sounds like it.
And I rolled a 7.
Well, I'd hope you don't have to leave the windmill in a hurry.
So effort and training effectively kind of bumps that up 2 levels. So,
So level 4.
13. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's...
All things considered, I'm not as worried about leaving quickly as I am about things getting in quickly.
Hopefully that's not famous last words.
That's right. So I'll kind of pull the thing back and kind of try to fit it back into its door frame. I know it's not fitting on its hinges very well, but we'll just kind of pull it back and really just try to slow down anything that could want to come through that bottom doorway.
Gotcha. All right. You fortified the door as best as you will. You think you did a good job, and with the tools that you had.
And then
we go up
and then we go up the stairs.